Luke 18, 9 through 14, if you'd like to follow along. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, pour out upon us wisdom and understanding, that being taught by you in Holy Scripture, our hearts and minds may be open to receive all that leads to life and holiness. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Luke 18, beginning with verse 9. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you, I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Rosa. I'm not going to say anything about the football game last night. There, I said it. But regardless of what sport you watch, or no matter who your team is, there's always a group of people that everybody loves to hate on. You know who I'm talking about? The referees. Right? And no, the MSU fans cannot blame last night's game on the referees, as far as I can tell. But referees, they are like the tax collectors of the football world, the way I see it. In Jesus' day, tax collectors, they played an important role in society, mainly by giving everyone else somebody to look down on. There's somebody worse than me. The truth is, every society needs a group of people that we can feel morally superior to. But Jesus has a way of flipping that script upside down. See, one day Jesus and his disciples were probably visiting the temple when he tells them this story. He says, two men went to the temple to pray. And you can almost hear the crowd lean in as Jesus says that, because when Jesus starts with two men, they know somebody's about to get compared. So over here you have the Pharisee. He's polished. He's confident. He looks like he probably serves on the finance committee of the synagogue. His robe is pressed, got the creases. His Bible probably is coated with a highlighter, you know, for different passages, talking about different things, all the different colors highlighting. He probably has perfect attendance and a personalized parking spot. I mean, this guy's at the top. He's got it going on. But then over in the corner, there's a tax collector. His head's down, his eyes are wet, has no confidence, no resume. He's just a man who knows he's messed up. He's messed up. And this guy, when he came to church that day, didn't come to impress anyone. But he came to confess. Well, over there is the Pharisee who stands real tall when he prays, and he says, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. Have you ever prayed one of those kind of prayers? Lord, I thank you that my kids aren't like those kids. Or maybe you prayed something like this. Lord, I thank you that at least my sins aren't as bad as their sins. You know, making these sort of comparisons. And so this Pharisee, he starts to list off all the kinds of people he was glad he wasn't like. Robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like that tax collector sitting on the pew over there. And then he starts to give God his resume of all the great things that he does. He says, you know, I fast twice a week. The law said fast once a week. He's going above. And he says, I give a tenth of everything that I have. You know, these are all very commendable practices. I mean, how many of you can say that you tithe 10% of everything that you've been given? You know, you can almost hear that sound. Can y'all hear that? He's patting himself on the back, isn't he? And he's doing it all while he's praying. It sounds holy, but he's really just giving God his spiritual resume. You know, when you think about it, his prayer really wasn't even about God. It was all just a form of self-righteousness. God, look at how good I am. And all the while he's doing this spectacle, the tax collector's kind of hiding in the shadows over there in that dark corner. And he's bent over in his pew. He can't even look up. He just beats his chest as he prays, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. No fancy words. No recitation of a resume. Just raw honesty. And then Jesus drops a bomb as he tells the story. He says, that man. Which one, Jesus? That man. The tax collector. He's the one that went home right with God that day. You could have heard a pin drop when Jesus said that. Somewhere a Pharisee just spit out his morning coffee. What? What, Jesus? Wait a minute. The crook is the one that gets the blessing, and the church guy goes home empty? I mean, what kind of story is this, Jesus? But he loved doing things like that, didn't he? Flipping our scorecards upside down. You know, when you think about it, the twist of the story is it's not about them. It's about us. We're the ones who go to church, who give, who volunteer, pay our taxes and mow our grass. We try to live right. We'd never say it out loud, but deep down we think if more people in our community were like us, the ones that are in these pews today, wouldn't the world be a better place? I mean, we think that, don't we? We do. But Jesus tells a story because even good, church-going people can drift into believing that God grades on a curve. And if God grades on a curve, then certainly we're at the top of the class. And what this does, if we're not careful, is it creates a sense of spiritual pride in us. That nasty self-righteousness. Why didn't God appreciate the Pharisees' prayer? Well, there's two reasons. The first reason is he used his religion to keep God at a distance. God wanted his heart, but the Pharisee gave a checklist. God wanted devotion, but the Pharisee wanted a set of rules that he could follow. You see, we want a religion that we can measure. We prefer a list of things that we can check off, because if I measure it, then I can manage it. Worship, y'all can all check that box today. Offerings in the plate, check that box. But then we read places in the Bible when Jesus is talking about the heart of faith and true religion. Jesus says it's this: to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. And what does the Pharisee say to that? I'd rather tithe. At least I know I've done enough. I mean, this love stuff, how do you ever know you've done it enough? You can't measure it. It's messy. It's unpredictable. It asks for more than just Sunday morning worship, doesn't it? How do you know if you're loving enough? You see, heart devotion is much more risky than keeping up with a checklist. True worship of God should make us humble. Because we know we really don't ever fully measure up to God's standard for us. We truly can never love as deeply as God loves us. Do we ever truly get to a place where we say, I'm reciprocating the love of God the way I know He wants me to? It humbles me. Especially when I argue with my spouse, or when I think less of someone because of their mistakes or failures. You see, the Pharisee's religion made him self-righteous, and his religion made him feel superior. The Pharisee was in it. Essence, he was saying to God, how fortunate you are to have someone like me. But the tax collector, on the other hand, was praying, do you see, O God, how badly I need you? And that leads to the second point. You see, the Pharisee had a root of pride that choked out his humility. You see, in our lives, pride can start out as dignity. We come to God and we ask for His forgiveness, His salvation, because we know We're nothing without it, without His grace. So we come and we receive that grace, and it gives us a sense of self-worth and dignity. But if we aren't careful, as we begin to live a life of religion, it can turn into a disease. It's like cholesterol. You don't even notice it until it's clogging up your heart. And once we start to experience a little bit of transformation in our life, we can easily start to believe that we're better than others. That somehow or another we deserve the blessings we have. You see, pride is sneaky. It wears religious clothes and it sings in the choir. No offense to the choir. It's just a pun, okay? But you get it. You see, pride makes repentance impossible because repentance requires us to admit that we're wrong. And good religious people do not like being wrong. What is the remedy to pride? It's repentance. And y'all, repentance isn't just about feeling bad, feeling guilt or shame. Oftentimes it does involve those feelings, and sometimes those are what drive us to the foot of the cross. We feel bad, but it's not just a feeling. Repentance is realizing, God, I've been walking in the wrong direction. I've been going at this the wrong way. I need you to turn me around. But pride hates that. It's sort of like the husband that's sitting behind the wheel of the car and the wife says, I think you made a wrong turn. Nah, I've been this way before. I know where we are. And boy, we'll spend a lot of time going in the wrong direction because we're not going to admit we don't know where we're going. That's pride. Pride says, I've got this. Do you know what repentance says? God, I need you. It's the prayer of that tax collector. Pride keeps us standing up tall, but repentance, it drops us to our knees. And it's on our knees, that's where we find grace. The grace meets us there. Not at the top of our achievements, but at the bottom in our humility. And Jesus concludes this story by saying that everyone who exalts themselves will be humbled. And everyone who humbles themselves, oh, they're the ones that are exalted. So maybe the best prayer that we can pray this week isn't some long or fancy prayer. It's just saying, Lord, I need you. I don't have this all figured out. But God, I need you. Maybe I need humility. I probably need repentance. Lord, show me. Show me my heart as you see it. I have a feeling that tax collector was seeing what God saw in him that day. But I also believe that when he left, maybe the love of God was starting to break in and change that heart. But it starts with repentance. Not a highlight reel. Not a list. But a broken heart. Guess which one got heaven's attention that day? And y'all, that's still the prayer that opens heaven's door. It's not perfection. It's repentance. Broken heart. The Bible says, a broken and contrite heart the Lord will not despise. And when we draw near to Him in repentance, He draws near to us with His grace. And thanks be to God for that. Amen. We're going to move into a time of prayer. And as a way of centering ourselves, Sarah's going to play just for a moment. So let us quieten our hearts and let us draw near to God's presence who meets us in this space as we turn to Him. Our Father in heaven, You are holy and merciful, and we thank You for that. Lord, we know that Your grace meets us right where we are. And so, Lord, we confess that too often we come to You like the Pharisee in the story, measuring our worth by our goodness. Oh, Lord, how often we compare ourselves to others. And there are other times, Lord, we know that we assume that we've earned Your favor. Lord, forgive us. And we confess that, like the tax collector, sometimes we don't even feel worthy to lift our eyes toward heaven. We know what it's like to stumble. We've carried shame. We've tried to fix ourselves instead of running to Your mercy. But Lord, we thank You that Your grace meets both the prideful and the broken, and that Your mercy is deep enough for every one of us. Lord, teach us the humility that draws near to You. Help us to come to You honestly, like the tax collector, simply saying, God, be merciful to me. I see my sin. Lord, we pray that You would transform our hearts so that our faith isn't about appearances, but it's about surrender. And make our church a place where grace is greater than judgment, where humility opens doors, and where people can come as they are and find new life in You. Be changed by You. Lord, we pray for those in our community who feel far from You today. For the one who's ashamed, for the one who thinks they've gone too far. Remind them that Your mercy is still waiting. And for us, Lord, may humility not just mark our prayers, but shape our lives. May we love with compassion and serve without comparison, and walk each day in grateful dependence on you. And Lord, today we pray in the name of Jesus, the one who humbled himself even to the cross, so that we could be lifted up in your mercy. And we pray as our Lord taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, thank you for joining us in worship this morning. I pray you have a good week ahead of you. And remember to come back on Wednesday and come be a part of our trunk or treat. I send you forth now with this benediction. Go now in the humility of those who know their need of mercy, and in the confidence of those who have found it in Christ. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ lift you up, and the love of God surround you, and the Spirit of God keep your heart humble and at peace. God bless you.